Tonight we are continuing in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph. We got to Sivav. So again, this is really just an overview of some concepts. We're going to have to wait till we get to the Mishnah Berura and Hilchos Pesach to get into the real nitty-gritty. But the Mechaber writes in Sivav, Kli Matechos, a metal kli, Afa Pi Sheyei Shomim, even though there are those who say, Shem Nishtamish Bo Iser B'Miktaso Nesar Kulo, Mishum Necham Miktaso Cham Kulo, even though there are Yeshom that say, if I use a little bit of Isser, only part of the, let's say, spoon, the entire spoon becomes Aser because heat transmits. It is a conductor. Metal conducts heat. So if you touch a little part, like you've touched a spoon, and you put the spoon in the soup, the whole spoon's eventually going to get a little bit warm. About l'inin hechshero, lo ala lo hechsher, ad sheyichshar kulo, bein l'inin hagala, bein l'inin libun. Meaning what? Even though there's a machlokus, the Gemara in Pesachim says, if it's cham miktas or cham kulo, some say a little heat will conduct the whole thing, others say it will not. That's a yeshomer, that's a machlokus. But with respect to being machshir kalim, the hechshir doesn't work until you've done a kasher, you've done hechshir on the entire item. You have to do hagala completely or liban completely. So that means if I had only a little piece of treif out of my spoon, you have to kasher the entire spoon. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like. If you look at Ramah argues and says, Bedavka im nishtamish bukulo. Not true. He says the only time you have to kasher the entire keli is if you use the entire keli. Aval im yadua shlo nishtamish rak biktaso kibol kach potav. You know you only touched part of the spoon, only part of it was aser, you only have to kasher that part of the spoon, not the rest of this. So this Ramah is actually a little tricky the way it's presenting. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's a long taz, a long shach here. Let's just go weiter. Okay, Siv Zayin. Siv Zayin, the Mechaber talks about the unique way to kasher knives. I don't know about you, and my mom always tells me I shouldn't quote her in Shirim, so I'm not really quoting her, but I'm just saying that when I grew up, I remember seeing a lot of silverware in the pots around the house. I'm not sure if you guys shared that same experience. So that people thought that you could just regrow things in there. So I have to be careful. My mom doesn't listen to my shiurim. My father does listen to my shiurim. I still need to be a little bit careful. But the Mechaber says, Siv Zayin, a sakin yashan, an old knife, biyad gadol, biyad, rather, bein gadol, bein katam, whether it's a big knife or a small knife, hanikach meovid kochavim, that you purchased a used knife from a non-Jew, if you want to use this knife with cold food, cut a cucumber, cut a tomato, imainba gomos, if there's no holes or any, it's not serrated, it's a very smooth knife, the halach is, how do you kasher it? Now, it's not really kashering it. It's really, how do you clean it? Noatza asar pamin bakarka kasher. You stab it in the ground, you stuff it in the ground 10 times into hard dirt, and each stabbing, each thrust has to be in hard dirt. Lefikach, therefore, lo yinot b'makom shenot ni'itza acheres. You shouldn't stab it in the same place where you put the other stab. It has to be 10 different spots in the ground. Seemingly, I don't know if dirt in a pot will be hard enough. I don't know how to define karka kasha. But it has to be hard dirt. Outside, seemingly, would be considered karka kasha. You stab it 10 times. And lefikach, fine, that's the din. So this is, again, only if you plan to use the knife in cold. Again, we didn't discuss how things get usher. We're kind of going backwards here. The only way the knife or any utensil can have tam absorbed in it, if it was used with hot. So let's say I use this knife to cut hot meat. I took a piece of meat out of the oven. I started cutting in slices, a London broil, let's say. So now that heat, the fleshik, goes into the knife. Now the only way to kasher that is by perhaps boiling it, or really libun. Libun, really the hot meat might be some type of libun. We'll get to how to kasher a knife exactly. We're not talking about kashering. We're talking about cleaning. Whenever you use a knife, it's so strong and so sharp, it's going to be oftentimes some fat oil that's stuck on it. So we're talking about cleaning it to use it with something cold. So you could use a treif knife as long as it's clean, because when I cut cold cucumber, heat only gets absorbed in the knife with, iser, tam, only gets absorbed in a knife or a utensil with heat, and also is only extracted through heat as well. So if I'm cutting a cold item with a treif knife, no tam is going to come out of that treif knife because it's cold. So the only chashash is any fat that might be, any residue that's on the outside is the concern. How do you clean it? You clean it by stabbing it 10 times in the karka kasha. Now some might suggest that maybe I should just clean it, put it in the dishwasher and scrub it well with a sponge. The poskim say that doesn't work. The only way to properly clean a kosher knife is by stabbing it 10 times in the karka kasha. Then if you look at Vayter in the Mechaber says, Vafilu lachtoch bodavar charif. Let's say you want to cut something sharp, like an onion, kamot snona, or a radish, sagi bahachi, it's also enough to do this. A number of lachas, we didn't learn this yet, but sharp foods have the ability to extract things that normally don't come out. So you might think that even though you cleaned it, so still the sharp onion might draw some of the tam out of the treif knife. The lach is you don't have to be concerned with that. As long as you clean it well, you could still cut an onion. Now, if you look down at the Pische Tshuva, though, the Pische Tshuva writes, Lachtoch bo davar charif, Ayin b'sefer b'chor shor b'chidushav, l'chulun daf kuf yud aleph. Shochiach, he proves that Tosas Cholken has that the Tosas argues on this opinion of the Mechaber. V'davka lachtoch esog mahani ni'itza. Only if you're cutting an esog does it work, but lo l'tsnom. An esog is not considered as sharp as a radish. So therefore, only an esog, even though it's very citric and it's very acidic, so still it's not considered as sharp as a radish. V'shar davar charif, it's not like a radish or other sharp item, such as the case of an onion. V'lachein kasev debal nefesh yochush. Ebal nefesh, again, everyone here is ebal nefesh in my eyes. V'lo yochal tznon, you shouldn't eat a radish. V'shar davar macharifin besakin treifa aidei ne'ita asar pavim. Although you can clean a treif knife with 10 stabbings, 10 thrusts in the ground, one should not rely on that knife to be used for something sharp like an onion. Then back on, up inside, the Ramah adds, Ulishtamish bo bekvias though, if you want to use this knife on a permanent basis for cold items, lo gara mishar kli shenogin lahagil afilu latonin. We discussed this last night, so then already bederek keva, then you would have to go ahead and do hagala on this knife. Kemoshin is bar. However, that's all talking about a very sharp blade, a very smooth blade. But im yesh bo gumos, if there are holes or it's serrated, o shirot lachtoch bo chamna, or you want to use it to cut hot food, a hot London broil, o lishchot ba, or you want to shecht it, use it to shecht an animal, milavna, then you have to do libun on the knife, which is again to use a blowtorch to make it turn red hot, o mashchisa b'mashchezes shel nefachim, you have to somehow like shave off some of the metal, sharpen the metal, and some of the shavings come off, the heita of al pnei kula on the entire knife. That would be the other way to properly kasher. But the Yesh Omrim in the Ramah says, Dashchaza lo mahani, the shaving off the metal doesn't work, rach lachtoch bo tzonin. It's only effective to allow you to cut cold, but that's not going to help any of the tam isser that's embedded deep in the metal. It only cuts the surface off. But what about the tam that's inside the deeper part of the metal? That doesn't help. You can't use it for chamin. That's how we practice. We don't rely on hashchaza. You would have to do libun on these types of knives. Now, by the way, this is only true if the knife was used for hot. Not every knife was necessarily used for hot foods. Let's say, for example, a bagel knife. One of those sharp knives you use to cut bagels. So those aren't always burning hot when you cut it. Usually the bagels can be hot. But usually when you bring them home, you're not going to cut them with a knife right away. So there's some knives that you know for sure that weren't used with any heat.
Bagel you're cutting isn't...
What?
You can't mix up the meat and dairy with the bagel itself. That's
true also. So I'm not sure there's a really good example of a bagel knife ever having absorbed a dairy or fleishigs. A knife, a regular milchuk knife can. If you're having, let's say, lasagna, it's very hot. You're cutting the lasagna up. Or you're having, I don't know, cheese on a salmon, not a farsfarti. So then that could be an example where you could have a knife becoming a milchuk. Fleishik, certainly, it's very obvious where you could find cases where it does absorb tam of fleishiks when it's hot. Now, let's take the situation of him lo yuchal lilabin. Let's say asakin. Let's say you can't really clean the asakin. You can't perform libun, heitav, well. Bishim hakata, because the...
handle.
The handle, which might be wooden. Now, if you put a blowtorch, you might start a fire. So then, yalbena v'yagilena acharkach. It sounds like, I think what he means is you do liban on the metal part, and then you should do a gala on the handle part. I think that's what he's trying to say there. Mihu, im livno v'lo higilu. Gumos, let's say you do libum, but you don't do hagala in a serrated knife. Or im higilu, you do hagala, below livno, you don't do libum, ve'ein bogumos, and they're not, it's not serrated. Ve'chatach ba'maychacham, you go ahead and cut the hot food, lo nesar, it doesn't become aser, afila sakin ben yomo, even if the knife had been used within 24 hours of treif, im heshchizu, b'mashchazes, if you shave off the metal, hate the well, b'chomakom, v'gilu, then you do hagala, acharkach mani, then it's definitely going to work. If you do hashchaza, then hagala. Afil l'chachili can rely on this, kimo libun, im yuchal linakos hagumos. Okay, a little bit confusing what's going on in the knife there, but we're going to hold it off to greater details when we do Hilchos Pesach. Let's jump now to Hilchos Nosin Tam Lefkam. Let's just finish off of whatever we can here. We'll read through the Mechaber for the most part, just to read everything inside. And then Amir Tzashem next week on Tuesday night. Again, Monday night, I'm not around. Tuesday night we'll have Shir, but not Wednesday night. So only Tuesday night next week. So the Mechaber writes, Hilchos Nosin Tam Lefkam. What? Oh. Peanut Gallery. Okay. Simon Kufchav Bey says, Shulchan Aruch Din Nosin Tam Lefkam. So you mentioned the concept already a few times. Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, no Sein Tam Lefkam is mutter. There's a machlokus in the Gemara whether no Sein Tam Lefkam, which means tam, taste, that gives bad flavor after 24 hours, are you allowed to, is that mutter? Or do we think that since it was once a Davar Isser, even though 24 hours passed, it might still be Aser, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, no Sein Tam Lefkam is mutter. It's a very, very important heter. Big. Oftentimes, as Shaila happens, you accidentally washed the fleishik kalim in the milchik's sink, or vice versa. So oftentimes what happens is, since you use soap, so that soap is already considered no sin tam lefgam. It ruins any flavor that might be there, depending how much was there, how strong it was, and at what point you put the soap in. So once there's no sin tam lefgam, that can prevent any type of a transfer of taste. Mechaber then writes in Siv Beis, Kedera she'ena, yeah.
Dishwashing?
That also, dishwasher also could be.
Even though it has, let's say, like lemon, what it does make a difference?
That's just a. I'm not sure whether.
Yeah,
could be the smell, taste, but yeah, I think we assume all detergent, all types of soaps, is no sin tam lefkam. Okay, that also depends. Like when it comes to dishwashers, however, because it only, depending, each mile is different, but it doesn't spew out that soap, detergent, right away. Some of the hot water gets in there first, and then it can start mixing around, your fleishiks and milk is in there, accidentally, if you put it inside, it could cause it to trafe up, and then only after the fact does it shoot out the detergent. So I don't know how the system works. Each one is very, very different. Oftentimes, if you find the opposite dish in the dishwasher, we should suggest you would kasher.
Yeah.
Can you create the situation? Meaning, can you wash dishes together knowing you put soap in first?
Yeah.
I never saw that discussed.
It's not saying like for the evidence, if you do it,
I don't know for sure. Seemingly, it sounds like it would be permitted. I never heard that suggestion. Could be just we try to. There are a lot of chumrot when it comes to basar v'chalav. We have to take extra precaution when it comes to that. But I don't know for sure what the poskim say. Okay, the Mechaber writes now in Siv Beis. Siv Beis. Shulchan Aruch writes, Kedera she'ena bas yoma. A pot that has not been used in the past 24 hours. Dehainu sheshas emes leis. There's a big machlokas what makes something a ena ben yoma. Some say overnight is Eina Ben Yomo. We paskin meisleis. It has to be 24 hours since it's last been used. Mishin is bashlu. 24 hours from the last time it was cooked. Baha Isser, the Isser was used. Havi nosin tam lefgam. Now any Isser that's left in the walls of the pot is now nosin tam lefgam. And the halacha is, afilu hachi asu chachamim levasha ba lichachila. Even though the tam that's there is really, it's a pogum. It doesn't have any effect. Chachamim created an iser, the chachila, that you shouldn't use it. What was the basis for the iser? Gezeira atibas yomo, Because if I am allowed to use a pot that's old, I might come to use a pot that's freshly used, and that would be real problems of Isser. So it's made a gzera across the board. Any pots used for treif can never be used until it's been kosher. Bein shebelu of Isser, ubalabasha baheter, whether it was a pot used with treif, and you want to now cook something mutter, bein shebelu mechalav, ubalabasha babasar, o ipcha. If I'm using a dairy pot, wanting to cook fleshik, so the dairy pot, that dairy was davar mutter, that was heter bala. And you want to use it now for fleshiks, no matter what the scenario is, you can never use it within 24 hours midiraisa, and even after 24 hours, you can't use it midirabanan. There is an interesting discussion in the Pischei Tshuva. He says that this whole gzera was only true of klimateichos, metal, because metal has a way around it. You could always kasher metal. Earthenware, where you'd be stuck. So then he quotes a shita here that since there's no way to kasher klicheris, if you wait 24 hours since it's last been used with treif, you can use it moving forward. But he rejects that based on many, many sugas and shas, that there is never a heter, even though you're stuck and you can't use a klicheris, there's no way to kasher it, too bad, and you have to just break it. You can't wait for 24 hours and think you could use it after that fact.
Is this a meaning about
when the year? Yibish Chodesh, there's a concept of Yibish Chodesh. The Gemara talks about Yibish Chodesh. That does exist when it comes to Hefsid Mamon. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva about China waiting 12 months and then cashing it three different times. And you're right, that does exist, correct. Okay, Mechaber says now Siv Gimel. And it's only Hefsid Mamon, though, also. Siv Gimel, the Mechaber says, Yesh Omrim, de Chashiva Peguma, Kishena Bas Yomo, Dafka Kishakdera Hadicha Yafe. It's only true that it becomes Eina Ben Yomo if you clean the pot well. The Sari Meno Kola Shamnunis, you removed all the fat, Isser Hadavakba, all the Isser that's been remaining. About Im Lo Hedicha Yaf, if you didn't wash it well, Sheha Isser Hu Be'en Eino Nifkam Bishias Meisleis. Waiting 24 hours doesn't help. If there's actual treif there, even though the treif was placed there 2 weeks ago, if the treif is still something that's edible, that would still have the ability to be, it's potent enough to create Isser. The 24 hours is only talking about taste, the ta'am that's in the walls. So a guy called me up a couple weeks ago. He was somewhere out skiing, and he was someplace where the cleaning help comes, and there's a dishwasher in this place. So she accidentally took the frying pan that he brought with him and put it in the dishwasher, the non-kosher dishwasher. What's the status of that frying pan? Is he allowed to use it or not? So it had been used 24 hours, but oftentimes there's a concern that there's some food, that there's a little drain in the bottom. Sometimes there's food there. So if you read all the books about kashering dishwashers, those who allow you to kasher dishwashers, let's say, for Pesach, or even those for during the year who allow you to kasher dishwashers based on plastic or metal, whatever you're dealing with there, one of the things you have to do is, some say you have to pour some detergent down the drain in order to render all that food as no longer edible, and therefore there won't be a problem of it coming up. So because 24-hour clock does not impact actual food, it's only because only once it becomes inedible. Okay.
Those things are pretty clean, no?
Which ones are pretty clean? The drains?
The hotels?
Can they clean the drain between?
I have no idea. I doubt they clean the drains of the dishwasher in between. I would highly doubt that.
But they put in detergent.
So that was a heter. The guy was stuck. He had nothing else to do. There's also that detergent there. So I said there's room to make ill on that regard with the using the detergent in there. Okay. Where are we now? We are... Okay, the Rama. Rama now says... look at the Rama on Siv Gimel. Umikom makom im yesh shishim... Rak neged hadavik b'kdera. Let's say there is some fat, some isser left in the pot. But you're cooking something, and there's 60 times I'm making a soup. And there's some pig fat left in the soup bowl, some lard. And I didn't know it. And then I made a whole big pot of soup, and there's 60 times the soup as there was that pig fat that was there. Hakol shari. Everything's permitted. Why? Because demash b'kdera kfar nigvam beinotzach bito. That which is in the kadera, meaning in the walls, the tam, it's already pagam because it's talking about where it's 24 hours since you last used the pot. And the actual ban that's there is batel because it's shishim of the chicken soup that I'm making. Yesh omrim, This is very important. This is how we paskin, actually. When it comes to a davar charif, even though normally the halacha is, this is very basic. When it comes to, many times people use the opposite pots accidentally. Fleishiks for milchiks, milchiks for fleishiks. So we're going to see shortly in the Shulchan Aruch that we always assume, unless you know otherwise, we assume that a pot is ena ben yomo. A stam pot you take from the cabinet, we assume it hasn't been used in 24 hours unless you know for sure you did use it. So stam is 24 hours. So accidentally you take a milchik pot and you make a chicken soup. So the halacha is that since the milchik's embedded in the walls is no sin tam of kam, we always assume that chicken soup is mutter. That's number one. We kasha the pot, but the food is definitely going to be mutter. The only exception is if you're making something sharp. You're making onions in there. You're frying onions, let's say, in the pot. So then when it comes to sharp foods, that has the ability to bring the tam, which was lefkam, it brings it back to nosin tam of shvach, and would even make the onions usher. I had this actually the other day. Someone emailed me, it was Perm. He emailed me a shayla. I said, listen, I do not have the head. I think you should throw out the rice. I think the rice. But everything else, he was like, it was like a pot and a spoon and then another fork and then something else, like five different stages. I couldn't think. The next day, I emailed him, and I emailed him, and I thought about it a few hours later. I said, you know what? The halacha, the Gemara says you can't paskin shilas when you're drunk. I'm adding, I don't think you paskin shilas even when you have a hangover either. Because I had to retract a few hours later as I made a mistake on something. But again, he was talking about he was frying onions, or his wife was frying onions, the opposite onions that was cut with this, and frying pan was the opposite type. So whenever it comes with onions, which is sharp, that can reinvent the tam l'shvach.
Can the davar
charef be bottled to everything else? What do you mean? Oh, so if there's shishim, yeah, if there's onion, yeah, you also always have to realize at what point was it a davar charif. A onion that was fried now becomes no longer davar charif anymore because it's sweet. It loses its sharpness.
But if you have an onion that's not cut at all, you throw a whole onion, I don't know if that's davar charif?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So there's 60 times the soup, so then I would imagine, yeah, I don't think it would be a problem.
What is given the shvach here? The treif inside the walls of the...
Because it's so... The treif inside the walls, once it's less than more than 24 hours, it's no longer considered potent enough.
Okay.
It's nothing. But once onion, it strengthens it, and now it comes back. It means there somewhere.
But why is it l'shvach? Does it have to taste good?
No, not necessarily good. But just at least, as long as the taste is a positive flavor, that it's the flavor of the... Tom, whatever is there, whatever the nevela is. I mean, even though you might not like pig with your chicken soup, it might may taste bad, but still, the pig independently has a good flavor to it, and therefore will affect the status of the chicken soup. Okay, then the Rama writes further, Lachain, therefore, in bishul b'kederas iser, she'ena bas yomo. If you cook a kedera that was used for pig, and it's not ben yomo, it's more than 24 hours, Maichel Charif, a sharp food, could go in Tavshil Sharuba Chomet, something with a lot of vinegar, or Tavlin, or something very, very spicy, or Shar Dvarim Charifin, like an onion, Aser, it's Aser, even though the Kedera is the Eina Ben Yomo, the Dvar Charif is able to bring it back to life. Something, every item has spices on it. A little bit of spice, a little bit of pepper and salt, does not have the ability to render a food sharp, has to be really, really sharp. The chay nogin, that's the practice. V'ayin le'el simin tzadihei v'tzadivav. Aval im haya iser davar charif. Let's say the initial pot became absorbed with onions. The first time around, you cooked, let's say, onion soup, and the onions were sharp. And then, shaha hakder meisleis. Then it's been 24 hours since it last been used. Bishla boheter. Then afterwards, you cook something that's not charif, mutter. Meaning sharpness that was originally used doesn't have the ability to surpass 24 hours. Only sharp food used second time could bring back old tam. But it doesn't create a lot of tam in the beginning. It only brings back old tam that was there initially. Are we looking? Yeah, good. Oh, great. Okay. The Mechaber now writes in Siv Dalad, Kedera hablua mibas b'chalav. A pot that has mixed together meat and milk Im kodem shavar laila echad chamimo b'mayim. This is very, very, this happens actually a lot, very relevant to Pesach. So you have a pot that's been used basar b'chalaf. You want it now kasher. So you have to wait 24 hours. What happens im kodem shavar laila echad, before the full 24 hours pass, chamimo b'mayim, you accidentally boil water, or power of something very neutral. You boil water in this pot that you want to actually let sit for 24 hours. You now, it's as if you recooked Dover Isser in this pot, and then you have to start the count over again. You have to restart the count. That's only when it comes to Basar B'chalaf, not other Isurim. Now, we assume by Chametz, there's a heter. What do I mean? When it comes to kashing a sink for Pesach, we recommend the person doesn't use it for 24 hours. All right, force, I think, right, turn off the hot water. Cold water won't affect it, because cold water doesn't really do anything. C says either cover the whole thing, because if you allow that the cold water to be used, they might use the hot water. Let's say you want to kash it right after Shabbos, and you need to wash Nitzitz Adayim for the Suda, so he recommends turning off the hot water in the bottom, and this way only you could use the cold water, this way you could still use the sink. That's completely fine. Now, where was I getting to with this? The sink? Oh, chametz. Okay, very good. So every year, someone says, I forgot, someone accidentally used a sink, used hot water, lost 24-hour clock. What do I do now? You know, Yontif is in a few hours, I need to kasher Erev Pesach. It happens. So the halacha is that since chametz is davar heter, really, so therefore you don't really need to wait 24 hours. We recommend because of the chomer of Pischa, chomer of Pesach, chomer of chametz, but you really don't have to. But the evidence, if it happens that way, you can even kasher it even though it's been used with the past 24 hours. We're talking about where there's a davar iser, then vada you have to wait 24 hours, in which case you can't ever do anything within those 24 hours. Okay, it's 9:30. We'll stop here. We're not going to finish the simon. Let's start again Tuesday night. We'll bring the shabruas and we'll begin. Okay, we'll go through the halachas of kashering for Pesach.